Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
We're back. I'm Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate, 800-531-3815, toll-free coast-to-coast. And we're visiting with our great friends, Eleanor Solomon and Ray Keating. Eleanor is a former economist with the Federal Reserve Board. She's also the author of Eleanor, I've forgotten the name of your book.
Virtual Money.
Virtual Money. How many times have I said that, you reckon? How many times do you think I've said? I'm traveling, so I don't have it in front of me. I couldn't get the virtual part out. Anyway, Virtual Money, folks, but I have read it, and it's an outstanding book. Eleanor, welcome back to the show.
Thanks for having me.
It's always a little rocky when Blasingame's on the road. Ray Keating, there's no telling what I'm going to say about you.
You can't mess up the title of my book.
you're the chief economist with Small Business Survival Committee, and also there's a series of books. D.C. by the numbers, New York by the numbers, and U.S. by the numbers. How could I forget that, Ray? All I got to do is remember one of them.
I make it easy for you, don't I?
Ray Keating, welcome back.
Great to be here.
And say hello to Eleanor.
Morning, Eleanor.
Good morning.
We're here, as everybody knows, to talk about a little bit about the economy and what the Fed has been doing, the Federal Reserve Board has been doing, what they're going to be doing. And as we know, they're meeting today in New York, and I think that's where they're meeting, and they usually do. And they're going to be talking about the economy and going around the horn. And Eleanor, what do you think is going to act like we're flies on the wall and we're listening to what they're going to say? What are they going to talk about today?
Well, they're going to talk about the pluses and minuses as usual. And on the plus side, the earnings reports look pretty good this quarter. Especially the oil is no big surprise, 13.1% growth. However, was it this at the expense of layoffs and cutbacks?
Yeah.
Secondly, it's nice that the market is up because the market is a pretty good predictor, or at least has been in the past, of future economic trends. So at least this shows that investors aren't quite as dismal as they used to be, and I gather that consumer confidence is up a little bit too. On the plus side, and this has an edge to it also, inflationary pressures seem to be minimal, around 1%, and there's always the fear that we'll slip into deflation or this will damage corporate earnings and cause them to go down next quarter. So if we turn to the negatives, it's a little more depressing.
Yeah.
Very depressing. The jobless rate was up to 6% in April, which is an 8-year high, and this wasn't quite expected, I don't think.
That's a soundbite waiting to happen, isn't it?
And
coming up in the next election.
Right. And even worse, there was a 0.3-hour drop in the work week, which suggests again that the people that are working are being cut back, and the factory payrolls fell by 95,000 for the 33rd consecutive month, which suggests ominously that some people may have dropped out of the labor force altogether. Various sectors of the economy were very bad. Auto sales dropped 6%, which suggests that consumers are getting very jaded with all of the benefits that they've been getting in the rebate.
Mm-hmm. What have you done for me lately?
Yeah, what have you done for me lately? We sort of expect this if we get a new car. The
mm-hmm.
Institute of Supply Management said manufacturing contracted for the second month, and that was below the forecast. And this is very disturbing because consumers still have been holding up the economy, except in certain sectors like tourism. But what's missing is the rebound in capital spending.
Right.
So the quick military victory has not spurred corporate investment and hiring.
It hasn't happened yet, Ray Keating. And by the way, well done on giving us that tour, Eleanor. Ray, it hasn't spurred the spending yet, but it's a little bit too soon. But the early indicators, Eleanor, I'm going to make one tiny correction to what you said.
Mm-hmm.
You said that consumer confidence was up a little bit. Well, I'm going to take a little bit out of your quote, because consumer confidence was up about 16 points, as I remember, Ray.
Well, the consumer really hasn't been the problem, though, has it?
No. Actually, they were prior to the war.
Temporarily.
They felt the buildup.
Very temporarily.
So they've gotten pretty depressed for a few months there.
You got to remember, this goes back, our economic problems go back to the middle of 2000.
Yeah.
This is not anything new. Actually, when we hit the next quarter, the third quarter of this year, we're going to have 3 years of substandard economic performance. We're going to have a recession in there, and we're going to have a underperforming economic recovery. So this has been quite prolonged. And, while the consumer has had, his ups and downs, overall, the consumer has held up pretty well. It's been, as Eleanor mentioned, the problem has been business investment. The numbers are striking. The GDP numbers for the first quarter of this year came out late last month. They were depressing. It's really striking to see that in 9 of the last 10 quarters, real non-residential investment, fixed investment, has fallen in each of those 9 out of 10 quarters. So that's where the problem is. Also, we have showing global economic insecurity, our exports have fallen in 8 of the last 10 quarters as well. So we've still got a lot of problems here. And, it's good that the consumer has taken a step up. Now let's hope that we get some risk-taking and investment in the economy.
Well, and wouldn't you think the exports would be up a little bit with the dollar declining some? Isn't that how that works?
Well, that's the theory. I don't get too tied up in that issue. I think it's more critically, it's all about economic growth. And that's what's going to drive your exports and imports.
Well, Eleanor and Ray, you guys make me want to just go to bed and pull the covers over my head.
Don't do that.
go to bed for a week or something. Well, it is tough out there. And Ray, you're right. I mean, it's the actual dramatic impact of where we are right now began fourth quarter 2000. You talk to anybody in with a business of any size, especially if they were doing business with any of the large companies, and they'll tell you fourth quarter 2000 was like a door slamming in the face. And of course, it was partially foretold by the NASDAQ collapse and earlier in that year. And we've had a lot of things to weather. Look, I want to talk about that when we come back after these messages, about the different things that this economy has had to weather. And to me, how amazing it actually is when you consider all those things. And if that isn't really kind of some good news that we can think about.
That is true.
Right after these messages, 20 after, we'll be right back with Eleanor Solomon and Ray Keating. It's 23 after, 800-531-3815, toll-free, coast-to-coast. Eleanor Solomon is the author of Virtual Money. Folks, if you want to learn how money moves around the globe, how it moves across your neighborhood, across your state, and around the world, you'd like to see how that happens electronically, check on Eleanor's book, Virtual Money. Still available. If it's not, they can order it. Also, I'm sure it's in any library because it's a watershed book. And so check that out. Ray Keating is also with us. He's with the Small Business Survival Committee, an organization that pound for pound does more for small business than any other organization that I know of. And they just do a great job there. And Ray, congratulations on the hard work that you guys do.
Appreciate it, Jim.
Okay. Here we are. We've just gotten through wrapping ourselves in ashes and sackcloth over the economy. But I want to dig ourselves out of this a little bit because if you think about it, in the 20th century, we had a number of major issues. Wars, we had major wars, we had a Cold War, we had a big depression, the Great Depression, I should say. I mean, we had all those major things that happened, but they lasted long enough that people learned how to deal with them. In the 21st century, right out of the box, look at all the different things. I mean, there's like 6 or 8 different things that have happened to us. Either any one of which would have been a tough blow to most economies, and yet, we've got some tough times right now, Eleanor, but relatively speaking, it's not that bad if you take all the things we've had to deal with in perspective.
That's exactly right.
So Ray, we really ought to be looking at the glass a little fuller than maybe so empty.
Well, I think the resiliency of the U.S. economy has been amazing. The resiliency of small business owners and entrepreneurs has been incredible. So you're absolutely right on that front. When you look at terrorist attacks and basically the war in Afghanistan and the war in Iraq and all the other issues, we have held up pretty well. So you're right. In that sense, there's something to grab onto there.
Do you think, Ray, how much do you think of small business is that we don't analyze the numbers into the ground, and also maybe we're not as sophisticated and we're not as plugged into the heartbeat of the global economy as the big guys are, but maybe that and I hate to use the word ignorance because it's, I don't mean it that way, but maybe that lack of being plugged in so closely is actually almost a good thing. You know, maybe we're successful when we didn't know we weren't supposed to be.
Well, you know what? I think most business owners are, you know how many hours you put in on your business, and you don't have a heck of a lot of time to, sit around and ponder what's going on in a lot of other areas of the economy and so on. And you know, that's just the facts of life and facts of business. So you concentrate on your business and do the best you can. So, you know, in that sense, but I think, at the same time, obviously, there are concerns out there in the small business community and for good reason. So it's, you can just listen to the way we're talking today and you can understand why when the Fed got together back in March, they came out and basically said in not so many words that they couldn't forecast where the economy was going. we're not alone in looking at the pluses and minuses here. Yeah. And kind of scratching our heads.
Eleanor, what did you think when they came out with that little namby-pamby report?
I thought that was exactly right. for the Fed to say, I don't know, and we will just wait and see what happens.
I took a lot of guts, though, didn't it? Don't you think?
Yes, it did take guts. I it was the first time I've ever seen the Fed be that forthright.
Yeah.
And pessimistic in a way.
Yeah. Well, and of course, they held rates steady. Of course, what is it now? Are we down to 1.25?
1.25, yeah.
1.25. On the Fed funds rate.
Fed funds, and the prime is 4.25, which isn't all that low. But
yeah, I mean, anybody can live with that rate.
Oh, yeah, and I think, that raises a, and we've talked about it before, raises a real question as to, how much can the Fed really do in terms of getting this economy going? Now, I've always argued that they should not be trying to manage economic growth. They should focus exclusively on price stability and
mm-hmm.
And we need, there are other policy levers, if you will, that can help us spur economic growth. So, I think the Fed, in terms of there's not much more room or much more they can do in terms of getting the economy forward, pushing the economy forward. I think we need to be looking at what Congress and the President, what they're doing in terms of the debate over taxes right now. And one other thing I'm going to throw into the mix here is, a big negative on the policy front are the states. Spent like drunken Democrats, if you will, for years as revenues rolled in the door, and had Republicans and Democrats. I'm across the board here.
Yeah, I was going to say, Ray, you tipped your hand there a little bit, but the truth is, they both did it.
I live in New York, and my Republican governor spent money it was going out of style,
and now we
face huge deficits, and there are tax increases coming. Mm-hmm. Across the country at the state level, and that's not good for the economy.
It's awful. That's some of the worst news. In fact,
yeah.
One of the things that I've tried to do, Eleanor, is compare to in any way, try to compare where we are right now with where we were on the precipice of the Great Depression. And one of the things that happened in the Great Depression was Hoover raised taxes. But just before the Great Depression actually hit, which was one of the things many people believe tipped us over into the Depression. And so I want to talk about this. We have got some good news to report, and we'll talk about that right after these messages. 29 after, stay with us. We'll be right back with Eleanor Solomon and Ray Keating. The show is brought to you by IBM and Office Depot.
And whatever comes our way, yeah, I gotta go.
now celebrating 5 years of burning up the airwaves.
If I were the man I was 5 years ago, I'd take a flamethrower to this place.
You're listening to the voice of small business.
This is Dr. Fraser Crane. I'm listening.
He's Jim Blassingame, the small business advocate.
We're back. It's 34 after, 800-531-3815, toll-free coast-to-coast. My website is www.jbsba.com. And don't forget, this show is available in the replay or the next 24 hours. So check it out when you get a chance. If you're listening live and you miss part of this, you can go back and get it again. If you're listening on the radio and you miss part of what we're having to say and you'd like to go back and listen to one of the genius observations that Eleanor or Ray makes today, then all you got to do is go to my website at www.jbsba.com and find the replay. It's easy to do. A lot of listen links there on the website. It's all new, by the way. Don't forget to check out some of the new features we've got on the website. And also, don't forget to subscribe to my free newsletter. Eleanor and Ray, we actually have some exciting things to talk about. Let me put it this way. They're not exciting things in terms of what they're doing at this moment, but I think the stage is set. Notwithstanding, Ray, some of the tax increases that you're talking about at the state level, I think the stage is set for some real opportunity to transpire over the next few quarters. We've got low interest rates. I think fuel prices are going to be coming down. We've got the potential for a tax cut. A significant tax cut that's working its way through Congress right now. We've got some new technologies out there. More and more small business owners are using technology to make themselves more productive. I just think that we have some bad news now, I think that on the horizon there's more good news today than there was at the end of the last downturn in the early 90s. Eleanor, what do you think?
I agree completely, and the technology will particularly benefit, middle-sized businesses who I think are holding up pretty well compared with the huge corporations.
Well,
the low interest rates, of course, take a long time to kick in, so yeah. Maybe we'll reach that horizon.
What do you think, Ray?
Well, I think that's right, and at SBSC, we're always looking at the policy issues, and remember coming out of the recession in the early 1990s, you had a Bush the first tax increase that helped push us into recession.
Right.
And then you had Clinton come in, and he ran, of course, on a tax cut platform and then came in and raised taxes. So those were two major hits in the early 90s, and it really did, I think, hinder the economic recovery for a few years. We're at the federal level, at least, we're not going in that direction as we come out of these troubles, and President Bush is pushing a tax cut plan, and obviously he's having some trouble with it, but the point is we are going to get a tax cut, and at least a good portion of it is going to be pro-growth in nature, so that will certainly help the economy going forward, without a doubt.
Ray, there are a number of components to the plan, President Bush's tax plan. It's down to, it started out at $726 billion over 10 years. It the House cut it to $550, and Lipid, Lincoln, Jeffers, Chafee and Voinovich out of Ohio and Snow from Maine, actually Republicans, folks, decided that it only needed to be 350, and that's where it is right now in the Senate. But Ray, the big deal in there for small business is the increase in the direct expensing to $75,000 from $25,000 per year. Is that going to make it through?
Yeah, well, I think that's a big issue, obviously, for small businesses. The president is also talking about indexing that going forward, so it'll rise with inflation.
Right.
So those are all positives. Some form of that is going to make it. I think that has a very good chance of making it to the final product. You got to understand, in Washington right now, things are just on the tax cut front. It's a mess. I mean, everybody's, especially over in the Senate, they're all over the map. But I think the small business expensing is one of the ones that has to rank in the highly favored column of making it to the end. The other big thing the two other big things for small businesses. One is the across-the-board income tax rate cuts, accelerating those. And as you know as well as I, most businesses pay the personal income tax, not the corporate income tax. So accelerating those rate cuts right now they're supposed to be phased in 2004, 2006. The president has proposed phasing them in retroactive to the beginning of this year. So that is a big issue for small businesses. And the other one is my friends, the good folks in the House of Representatives, have injected capital gains into this debate.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's great. And
that's
talking
good news.
About, yeah, they're talking about trying to cut the capital gains tax rate from 20% to 15%. I think that would be a big plus for small businesses as well.
Stand by, Ray. When we come back, folks, we're going to get Eleanor to tell us what she thinks the Fed's going to do today and why. She's one of the best at that. She was right on the money, by the way, the last time she was on the show, as I remember. 22. We'll be right back with Ray Keating and Eleanor Solomon. Stay with us. We're back at 17 till. We're visiting with our good friends Eleanor Solomon and Ray Keating. Eleanor is the author of Virtual Money and former Fed economist. Ray is the chief economist for the Small Business Survival Committee. Small Business Survival Committee's website, folks, is sbsc.org. I recommend you check it out. I recommend that you support this organization if you can. And you can find out how to do that at their website at sbsc.org. And don't forget, one of the best features on their website, folks, is what they call a scorecard. Isn't that the name of it, Ray? The scorecard of how all of our elected representatives voted on around 15 small business issues.
Yep, all the senators and all the members of the House. So you have that there. And just another plug, real quick. I believe it's going to be released today, if not today, tomorrow. We've got a big report coming out on spending in the states and how that's the real problem, the source of the problems in the states, not too few tax revenues.
Right. Which is the problem in the nation, isn't it, Eleanor? I mean, the problem is not so much that we don't have enough revenue, although clearly revenue is off, but it's that since 9-1-1, as Ray said earlier, they've been spending like crazy. I don't think we have a revenue problem as much as we have a spending problem.
We certainly do. We certainly do. A big one.
Yeah.
You know, the tax revenue numbers are interesting when you look at them, and that's another, I hate to say it, but that's another negative indicator. We have seen now a decline in federal tax revenues. I think we're going on 3 years now in a row, and that's unprecedented in history. So that's another negative sign that the economy is not doing well. But on the flip side, the other side of the fiscal equation is, you know, the feds are spending money like at an incredible pace, and it's not just defense spending. It is non-defense spending at well, and it's at multiple levels, the rate of inflation.
Right, yeah. Eleanor, let's move over and go inside the boardroom there at the Fed where the FOMC is going to meet today. What are they going to say? What do you think they're going to come out with after this meeting today?
Well, they're going to look at these statistics, some of them very bad, especially the unemployment rate. But there's not much room left to lower the Fed funds below the 1.25%. Maybe they want to save a little ammunition for later, and in any case, it takes a while for all of these effects to filter in.
Mm-hmm.
Our rates are very, very low by historical standards. Perhaps what they will do is, as is widely expected, is keep the Fed funds rate at 1.25%, but then put a little wording into the so-called tilt or the bias, indicating that, well, maybe we'll do something later if this doesn't help. The trouble is that I think it'll take some ingenious wording, because you don't want to tilt the risks, recession versus inflation. There's really no inflation risk whatsoever at the moment.
Right.
In fact, there's a risk of deflation.
Mm-hmm.
You don't want to talk about the risks of economic weakness, because that just makes people feel worse. So I would think there may be some ingenious wording to suggest that if things don't improve in a month or two, perhaps there will be a further cut.
But you're not saying they're going to do that today?
I think they'll put this into the wording of the tilt today, but they won't actually cut today. But,
right.
You know, they may fool us.
Ray, what do you think?
Well, I think Eleanor's right on the mark. I wouldn't disagree with any of that. And on top of that, I hope Alan Greenspan starts talking more intelligently about tax cuts. So.
Yeah. Mr. Bush could use a little help there.
Yeah, no, but I think Eleanor is absolutely right. You know, I think they might say something, again, worded in the right way that, you know, that the bias or the risks are that the economy is, you know, not not growing at the rate it should. Perhaps that's the path to go.
That's a good way to put it.
Yeah.
And say that, you know, we'll be ready to step forward.
So no activity on the tax cut on the interest rate side.
I don't think so. I would be surprised.
I would be shocked if they did. In fact, I thought they might just phone this thing in this weekend.
Yeah.
Not even me. Just say, well, you know.
Oh, can't do that.
I'm being facetious. Okay.
Probably have a nice lunch and all. You know.
let's talk about some of the things that are loaded into the system that could help out. Profits are up, Ray. Consumer confidence is up. We're about to get a tax cut. The technology sector is expecting and more, and every month it's looking like they're correct and justified in expecting a strong second half of this year. If profits are up, stock markets are up. If stock markets are up, 201Ks become more like 401Ks. Consumer confidence could grow a little bit more. Couldn't we just be on the threshold of some real growth?
Absolutely, and the stock market bounce is really a very good sign, because stock markets are a predictor of things to come.
Right, and Ray, aren't we potentially? I don't want to jinx ourselves here, but I don't want to tempt fate. But aren't we potentially also on the precipice of a significant era, perhaps with a peace, if we can solve some things in Palestine, and if we're talking to Syria right now and getting them settled down, we've gotten Saddam out of Iraq, and is it possible that we could be heading for a period of maybe some unprecedented peace around the world?
You know, I think that's an interesting point. You know, as much as obviously the U.S. Came under all sorts of criticism from some of our friends in Europe for the Iraq War, I think. We made a very bold statement to the world, and we carried through on what we said we were going to do. And I think in the long run, that is going to be a huge plus for global peace and security, and for economic growth.
We got to go into a break here, folks. And I'll tell you what, though, this is the kind of an issue that is long ripening fruit. It's not something that's going to happen this year. It's going to take a while to happen. 10 till. We'll be right back with our good friends Eleanor Solomon and Ray Keating. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate. Don't go away.
Down on the river, you stop and you hold everything. A band is growing Dixie, double fall time.
What would you do if I sang out of tune?
We're back at 7 till. Ray Keating, Eleanor Solomon, I'm Jim Blassingame. The three of us have the general consensus that the Fed's not going to do anything today in terms of taking action, and that they're going to make all of their impact with words in the comments that they make afterwards. And I think that's right. I think Ray and Eleanor are correct on that. There's really not much else they can do. They basically are out of ammunition in a lot of ways. But Ray and Eleanor, the president could use a little help from the chairman, especially after the president, Eleanor, the president said, yes, I'm going to renominate Mr. Greenspan. He could have got a little help on his tax policy, couldn't he?
Well, except the philosophies are different.
Yeah.
At this stage.
You know, and at this stage is probably the key phrase there, because, you know, Greenspan, you know, for the longest time has been a, you know, tax-cutting, free-market kind of guy.
That's right, very much so.
But he's gotten, I think, unfortunately so, kind of far too focused on the federal budget deficit. And he's fallen into the trap of, I think, the incorrect argument that federal budget deficits lead to higher interest rates. I think if you look at history and you chart just federal budget deficits, U.S. deficits against interest rates, it doesn't hold up at all. But he's fallen into that, and I think that's caused him to offer some very irritating advice on tax cuts lately.
I don't know. I'm on the road, so I didn't get a chance to see his comments this time, but I don't have a life, so I usually pour over them and study them. But this time I wasn't able to. A lot of times when he mentions not cutting taxes, it's preceded by what we need to do is not spend so much money, but if we can't stop spending money, then we don't need to cut taxes. Was that in there this time, or did that get left out?
Well, I was looking at what he had to say about the economy, and he was upbeat for the second half of this year. He didn't give me too much insight as to what would happen to either the Fed funds rate or to taxes.
Right. Yeah.
But I was reading it on the web and doing it pretty fast. I can read more.
Speaking of which, do you think he's going to be renominated?
Sure.
Ray, what do you think?
Of course.
Oh yeah, I think more so, if not for any other reason, that I think policymakers in Washington are extremely fearful of what's going to happen in the post-Greenspan Fed world.
Right.
He's had a tremendous record, although I think he went off base in the late in 1999 mm-hmm. and 2000 badly and hurt the economy with his interest rate increase.
Right.
So he hasn't a perfect record, but compared to his predecessors,
right.
He had nowhere to go but up, arguably, after the dollar came off of gold. So I think there's a great fear among policymakers that, is the next Fed chairman going to have a clue?
Right.
Is he going to have the imagery and the stature
with his peers, with the people who work with him that he does? Because clearly he's held in awfully high regard by I guess everybody.
Both parties. Look at, whenever he comes up on Capitol Hill, everybody, Democrat or Republican, they maneuver to have him support their position on any issue. It's incredible.
Yeah.
They'll ask the Fed chairman about all sorts of non-monetary issues,
right,
hoping to get this man to endorse their position because he carries such weight at this point.
Eleanor, who's the next guy? I think whether he's going to be renominated or not is not really what happened here because, both Mr. Greenspan and Mr. Bush were going to say they were going to nominate him again.
Exactly.
Right now, they had to do that right now. But regardless of when he leaves, who's the next guy?
Well,
Roger
Ferguson.
Or lady. It may be a lady.
Yeah. The vice chair is a very smart man. He doesn't have quite the exposure, of course.
Tell us his name again.
Roger Ferguson, who's extremely smart.
And yeah.
He's the present vice chair. Of course, vice chairs don't usually get the job.
Yeah. Is it going to be more political appointment, you think, than less of a technical appointment, Ray?
Well,
or Ella, go ahead. You go ahead.
I was going to say, typically the Fed chairman has not been political appointments. They have to be technical. You've got to have somebody who understands the business.
But when I say technical, I was thinking of somebody more in line like Mr. Ferguson. Somebody that would have a little more stature. Probably would be somebody who was chosen. Ray?
And of course, Baranek is wonderful. The new Fed appointee from Princeton. He is he's absolutely brilliant.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he
would be a good Fed chairman too.
Ray, I'm going to have to let Eleanor have the last word, which is fine. She got the first word. She should get the last word. Thank you for being here, Ray. Thank you, Eleanor. Good job to both of you.
Oh, it's been great. Thanks, Jim.
Appreciate your information, Eleanor, as always, and Ray, too. Eleanor, ladies and gentlemen, the author of Virtual Money. Ray is the chief economist of Small Business Survival Committee, SBSC.org. Check that out today. I got to go for this hour. Before I do, I want to thank my heroes, small business owners, and every single member of our military around the world standing a post. Even today. This is Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate, and this program is for you. I'll be right back.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blassingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.